Blog Talk Radio.
Hello world, it's time for RTWFC Bible Talk with Evangelist Lloyd Yearwood and his wife Betty Yearwood. For the next 2 hours, join in with us in this Internet Radio Bible Discussion program. There'll be a special singing and call in and discuss the Bible with us. And now here's your host, Evangelist Lloyd Yearwood, live in Madisonville, Tennessee.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. It's good to be able to come back into your homes once again, reaching the world for Christ. This is Evangelist Lloyd and Betty Yearwood in Madisonville, Tennessee, here in USA. So our service tonight, the title of it is, Where Have You Laid Him? You know, that's a good question tonight. Where have you laid Jesus in your life? You know, a lot of people have laid him other places. But anyway, if you want to be a part of this service tonight, we'll call in on 310-742-1759. That's 310-742-1759. And we'll put you right on the line here with us, reaching the world for Christ. So we appreciate all of our call in. So 706, go ahead and tell us who you are and where you're at there. And we'll get you there in a few minutes to get on the air there.
This is Freda Litchfield in Thomaston, Georgia, Brother Yearwood.
Praise the Lord. Appreciate you, dear sister, calling in there, Freda. 606, come in there and tell us who you are and where you're at.
Brother Dwayne Van Hook, Somerset, Kentucky.
Praise the Lord there, Brother Wayne. Have you got the other brother on there, too?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm Shannon Fife from Campton, Kentucky.
Okay. Well, praise the Lord. We'll get teams there just in a minute. We got a sister called in there first there, so we'll get you in there in a minute there. Anybody want to be a part of this service, well, go ahead and call in on 310-742-1759, and we'll put you right on the line with us there. So, Sister Freda, go ahead and obey the
yes,
Lord
sir.
There.
Okay, well, I need to put in some prayer requests. The Lord's been putting people in my path, and so I talked to one lady yesterday, and I felt impressed before she got out of my vehicle. I said, I want to pray for you. Her name is Nancy Gordy. She's having a lot of medical problems, and they couldn't find a bed, but she's probably going to end up going back in the hospital in Griffin, I think, and having some kind of surgery. And then I met another one this morning. She's got, I think it's her husband or somebody in the family, is having some problems. I think his mother just passed away not too long ago, and they're having some problems with DNA testing. So let's remember these two ladies in prayer and remember our neighborhood. We live close to some ranches down here and it belongs to the hospital. And we're having water moccasins and coming into the yards and things. So let's remember, you know, that's just a devil. Well, one of the things the devil wants to, he wants to hurt God's people or people in the neighborhood. So let's remember. I know they done killed probably three in the last week or two, so let's remember that nobody gets hurt. And there's also a fox somewhere close by. So let's remember these animals, that the Lord will take care of his people and nothing will happen to them.
Amen. We sure
okay.
will. We'll be remembering. Just go ahead and obey the Lord there.
All right, I'm going to start. Here's what the Lord wanted me to do. So I'm going to start in Matthew 27. I know it's going to be a little bit lengthy, but I think we need all the points that's going to be brought out. Verse 49 to start. The rest said, let us see whether Elias will come to save him. Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake and the rocks rent. And the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose. and came out of the grave after his resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared unto many. Now when the centurion and they that were with him watching Jesus saw the earthquake and those things that were done, they feared greatly, saying, truly this was the Son of God. And many women were there beholding afar off, which followed Jesus from Galilee, ministering unto them, among which was Mary Magdalene, and Mary the mother of James and Joas, and the mother of Zebedee's children. When the even was come, there came a rich man, Arimathea, named Joseph, who also himself was Jesus' disciple. He went to Pilate and begged the body of Jesus. Then Pilate commanded the body to be delivered. And when Joseph had taken the body, he wrapped it in a clean linen cloth and laid it in his own new tomb, in which he had hewn out in the rock. He wrote a great stone to the door of the sepulchre and departed. And there was Mary Magdalene and the other Mary sitting over against the sepulchre. Now the next day that followed the day of the preparation, the chief priests and Pharisees came together unto Pilate, saying, Sir, we remember that deceiver said, while he was yet alive, after 3 days I will rise again. Command therefore that the sculpture be made sure until the third day, lest his disciples come by night and steal him away and say unto the people, he is risen from the dead. So the last error shall be worse than the first. Pilate said unto them, you have a watch. Go your way and make it as sure as you can. So they went and made the sculpture sure, sealing the stone and setting a watch. You know, that brings to remembrance. I know the men is supposed to be in charge. But you know, if you got a wife that's a helpmeet to you, that's what the Lord was doing. He was bringing the women to go to the tomb to prepare him for what was fixed to happen and to get him ready for coming back after 3 days. But you know, we have a lot of people around us. It's not just men and women. It's just everybody. If they would just let the Lord do what they want, the Lord wants them to do, things would be so much better for everybody. But you know, there's some people out, they say, I'm greedy, I want it my way or no way, but that's not the way the Lord wants it. The Lord wants us to be an instrument to do what
Amen.
His bidding
Amen.
Is, not what we want for ourselves. He wants us to do what, and one of my prayers every morning, Lord, direct me, guide me in revelation, and direct my path on what you want me to do, where you want me to go, and what you want me to say. You know, when we listen, do things like that, that puts our tongue to shame. But I don't want to say nothing that's going to be wrong and displeasing to hurt my Lord or my Savior or anybody. I want to be where he wants me to be. If he tells me to say a good deed to somebody, to uplift somebody, because this lady I met this morning, she was down and out. And this was in a library now. But, you know, the Lord puts people in our path to direct to them. And she and I told her, I said, I'm going to put you on the blog talk tonight. She said, I appreciate that. And the other lady said the same thing yesterday. She was in so much pain, and you can see it. But when you put a prayer to them and pray with them and lift them up instead of pushing them down, that makes people feel a whole lot better than if you're downgrading them. And I don't want to hurt nobody. I don't. Because I want to be treated like they want to be treated. I'd like to set a good example. You have to. Because this world, I mean, everybody is fighting against everybody. And that's not the way it's supposed to be. We're supposed to do what the Lord wants us to do, not what the world and the men wants us to do. Thank you, Brother Yearwood.
Appreciate that wonderful word there, Sister. That was a great word of God there. 423, come down and tell us who you are and where you're at.
Praise the Lord. This is Eddie Bolton from Jacksboro, Tennessee.
Praise the Lord there, Brother Eddie. Well, we've got a couple guys there that called in. I think they're tag teaming there on the phone there. So we'll use them, then we'll get you right in there behind them.
Go right ahead, Brother.
Okay. Brother Wayne? Dwayne?
Praise the Lord. Yes.
Go ahead and obey the Lord there.
Okay. Well, in the word of the Lord, the word of God, The Bible says that in verse 13 of John chapter 20, verse 13 says, "And they say unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? She saith unto them, Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him." Well, she was concerned about where they had taken the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The sermon title tonight is about, Where Have You Laid Him? I would like to say, where have you put him? Have you accepted him in your heart? Have you received him into your life? Do you live for him? Is he your Savior? Is he your Lord? Is he your Master? See, tonight, where is Jesus? There's one thing for sure, everybody. We need to make sure that Jesus is in our heart. That's where he needs to be. He needs to be in our heart. He needs to be in our life. We need to make sure that we ask him to come into our lives, to save us and to forgive us of all of our sins. For the Bible says if we believe with our heart and confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus, thou shalt be saved. Verse 13 of Romans 10, that's verse 10, chapter 10, verse 9, verse 13. 13 says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." But where is he? Is Jesus in your heart? Where have you put him? Is he in your life? Have you received him? Have you asked him in your heart? You know, right now would be a perfect time, if you really mean it, to say, "Jesus, come into my heart, forgive me my sins and save me." If you really mean it, you could pray that prayer. Don't wait too long. The Bible says that today's the day of salvation, and now is the accepted time. Where have you laid him? Where have you put him? Where is he at in each one of our lives? Do we put him first? What do we do? Do we trust him? Do we pray? The Bible says when thou pray, he told us, he said, how do I pray? This is paraphrasing. This ain't word by word. One time he said to pray to the Father in the name of Jesus Christ. So we pray our Father which art in heaven, you know, and it goes on to talk about the great things of God. But where have you? Where have we? Where have we laid him? All over the world, I want to tell you that Jesus loves you, and that Jesus is the Messiah, and that Jesus is the Son of God, that you can receive him in your heart and be saved. You can make sure that he's in your life. You can make sure he's in your heart. Why don't you call upon him, meaning it? But you know, you have to mean it when you ask Jesus to come into your heart and to save you and forgive you of your sins. The Bible says that he is the way, the truth, and the life, that no man comes unto the Father but except through Jesus. Jesus is the way. Accept the way today. Have him put in your heart. Ask him to come into your heart. Where have we laid him? Where are we at? If Jesus came back today, would you be ready to go? If he asked you, for what reason should I let you into my beautiful heaven, what would you tell him? You know, there ain't but one reason. That is that you're saved and that your sins are washed away by the blood of Jesus Christ, that you're right with God, and that all your sins are covered by the blood of Jesus. And that's what I'm talking about today, being saved, born again, blood bought through the blood of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. He shed his blood. Jesus was born of the Virgin Mary. God had brought him into the world. Give your life to him today, sinner friend, backslider friend, Christian friend. Let's all get stronger in the Lord. Let's all sell out to the Lord. Let's all be ready when Jesus comes back or when we leave this world. Let's make sure all of our sins are under the blood of Jesus before we can go to be with God. Okay, brother, I turn it back over to you, Brother Yearwood.
Appreciate that, Brother Wayne. Brother Shannon?
Shannon.
Yes.
Go ahead and obey the Lord there.
All right. The Bible says in Luke chapter 24, verse 39, he said, "Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit has not flesh and bones, as you see me have." So let's break that verse down here, and let's study it for a moment. Notice what it says here in verse 39. He said, "Behold my hands and my feet." I'm talking about the bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ. And the other part of verse 39 says this. Notice these key phrases here, proving that Jesus was, that God the Father raised Jesus bodily from the grave. It says, "It is I myself, not another and a different person." Another part in verse 39, Jesus said this. He said, "Handle me and see." And another part in verse 39 says this, "A spirit has not flesh and bone, as you see me have." And in verse 40, in John chapter 20, verse 20, it says this, "He showed them his hands and his feet." And in verse 41 through verse 43, it says he took fish and a honeycomb, and notice this, and did eat before them. And in Matthew chapter 28, verse 6 through 7, and Mark chapter 16, verse 6, it says, "He is risen." What is risen? It could not be his soul and spirit, for they did not die. They went into hell to preach and to carry on work, according to Psalm chapter 16, verse 10, Luke chapter 23, verse 43, and Ephesians chapter 4, 8 through 10, and 1 Peter 3, verse 9, and Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14 through 15. His body is the only thing that died. Oh, you can read about that in James chapter 2, verse 26. And the only thing that could have been resurrected, according to Luke 24:39, Zechariah chapter 13, verse 6, and Acts chapter 1, verse 11. And the Bible also says they held him by his feet. You can read about that in Matthew chapter 28, verse 9, and Luke chapter 24, verse 39 through 40. And another place, it says this. It says in Matthew 28:17 and John 20, 19 through 20, they saw him. And in Luke 24:3 and verse 23, it says they found not the body. Why? Because it was resurrected. In other words, Jesus was bodily resurrected, according to Luke 24:39 through 41. And here it says in Luke 24:5 through 6 and James 2:26, it says, "Why seek ye the living," that means his body, "among the dead bodies? Did they not go to the tomb seeking a spirit to embalm? Or was it the body they sought? Then it was the body that was risen from the dead." And in Luke 24:15 and verse 30 through 31, the Bible says this, "Jesus himself drew near. He said at meat with them, they knew him." They knew who Jesus was. And in Luke 24:23, and Matthew chapter 28, 6 through 7, and Mark chapter 16, verse 6, the Bible says, "Angels said he was alive." Even the angels of God, even said with their own mouth that Jesus was alive. And in Luke chapter 24, verse 36, in John 20 through 19, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them. What was it that stood in their midst? They thought it was a spirit in Luke 24, 37. But Jesus assured them that it was not a spirit. It was his own body that had been with them for a year. According to Luke 24, 39 through 43, it was necessary for Christ to be crucified and to rise from the dead. According to Luke 24, 46, what was it that was crucified? The same thing that rose from the dead. And in Luke 24, verse 51 through 52, the Bible says that he lifted up his hand. Notice this. His hand. He was parted from them and carried into heaven. Whose hands were they? Were they the hands of a spirit? What was it that was separated from them and taken to heaven? It was not a spirit, as he said in Luke 24, 37 through 43. Then it was his body. And another place in John chapter 20, verse 2 and verse 9. They have taken away the Lord out of the sepulcher, for as yet they knew not the scripture. Notice this, that he must rise from the dead. The missing body made no less than, notice this, 12 appearances to hundreds of witnesses. You can read about this in John chapter 21, verse 14. It was not taken away. It was resurrected and is alive today at the right hand of God. Jesus is at the right hand of God the Father, proving there that there's two separate people, God the Father and God the Son, Jesus, but God the Holy Spirit raised Jesus bodily from the dead. You can read about this in Mark chapter 16, verse 19, Acts chapter 2, verse 33, and Romans chapter 8, verse 34, and Hebrews 1, 3, and Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. And the Bible says this, except I shall see in his hands, talking about Thomas, the print of the nails, and put my finger in the print of the nails, and thrust my hand, notice this, into his side, I will not believe. Thomas had opportunity. Notice this, 8 days later, proving his body was literally resurrected. According to John chapter 20, verses 25 through 29, and Luke chapter 24, 37 through 43, in all resurrection, the body were made alive again, not the souls. According to 1 Kings 17, 17 through 24, and 2 Kings chapter 4, 18 through 37, and chapter 13, verse 21, and you can read about this all in John chapter 11, to argue that Christ's body is the only one never to be resurrected is extreme rebellion. For many scriptures says it was raised, according to Acts chapter 2, verses 31, and Acts chapter 4, verse 33, Romans chapter 1, verse 4, 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 21. One shall say unto him, notice this, in eternity, what are these wounds? Notice this, in thine hand. Then he shall answer, those with which I was wounded in the house of my friend. You can read about this in Zechariah chapter 13, verse 6. Notice this, he was buried. And according to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 58, you can read about this. Notice this, he arose again. In this scripture, it is clear that anyone who does not believe in the bodily resurrection of Christ will be lost. The Christian faith is based on that Jesus was raised from the dead. I want to close with this here. In Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10, it says this, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart, notice this, that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Sinner friend, dear backslider, if you will repent of your sin and you will ask Jesus Christ to come into your heart and life, and if you will believe that Jesus went to the cross and he shed his precious blood and he died and they put him in the tomb and that God raised him from the dead, and you will confess Jesus as your Lord and Savior and ask him to save you from all your sins and be washed in the blood of Jesus, you can be born again according to the Word of God. And when you are, according to 2 Corinthians 5:17, you will be a new creature, and all things will be passed away. Know this, beloved, Jesus is alive. He's at the right hand of God the Father, and the tomb of Jesus is empty. And in Jerusalem today, at that empty tomb, there's a wooden thing over the door that says, "He is not here, he is risen." Well, I'm done, and I'm going to turn this back over to the brothers.
Praise the Lord. Appreciate you there, brother. Appreciate the message there. 770, come in there and tell us who you are and where you're at.
This is Robin Gresham in Thomaston, Georgia.
Okay. Well, Sister Robin, we'll get to you there just in a minute. I'm going to have Tim to sing the song, then let Brother Eddie Bolton come in there and obey the Lord, and we'll get to you there.
I used to worry about the troubles and the problems of this life always seemed to throw my way. And all of them together can't compare to the promise that's gonna be made real of me someday. My redemption has been sealed by the blood of the Lamb. That's the reason for the joy that's in my heart and all my faith. And His Spirit has revealed who I was and who I am. Now I know I'll never live again in that lonely place, back there on the other side of grace. For every sinner that has turned to the Savior, humbly bow and call upon His name. You can ask them now if they'd ever want to change it, and their reply will always be the same. My redemption has been sealed by the blood of the Lamb. That's the reason for the joy that's in my heart and all my faith. And His Spirit has revealed who I was and who I am. Now I know I'll never live again in that lonely place, back there on the other side of grace. On the other side of grace.
Yeah.
My redemption has been sealed by the blood of the Lamb. That's the reason for the joy that's in my heart and all my faith. And His Spirit has revealed who I was and who I am. Now I know I'll never live again in that lonely place, back there on the other side of grace. On the other side of grace. On the other side of grace.
Praise the Lord. Appreciate that wonderful song there. On the other side of grace. So, Brother Eddie?
Why don't you let that sister just come on there? Why don't you let her go ahead, Brother Yearwood, and I'll come on there next.
Okay. Okay, Sister Robin, just go ahead and obey the Lord.
I just want to thank the Lord and praise God for the opportunity to be on here today. Amen. Well, mine started off in John 20, where it was talking about, where have you laid him? Well, the Lord dealt with me in John 20, starting with verse 19. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for the fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, peace be unto you. And he was seen after death, after the cross, living among the brethren. In 1 Corinthians 15, it says, let's see, for I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. And you know, in 1 Corinthians 15:55, it says, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? Even death in the grave couldn't conquer him. Ephesians 4, verse 8 says, wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. And if you'll go back where it's talking about Thomas, in chapter 20 of John, verse 29, Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. He's not on the cross anymore, church. He's not in the grave. We serve a risen Savior that sits on the right hand of the Father. So I ask you, where is he in your life? Where have you laid him? Invite Jesus to come into your heart today, no matter what situation you're in. You need to know that God loves you and he wants you just the way you are. And Jesus said in Matthew 11, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You know, even though people this time and age, they feel like, well, we don't know who Jesus is. Well, you got to think about where they put the Bible. Where do they put Jesus? Are they hiding that Bible? Are they hiding that word that's in them? You know, we need to look for Jesus. We need to have Jesus in our heart today. That's the only way a man can be saved, and that is the only way that a man is going to know Jesus. You have to look for him. If you look for him, he can be found. And that's what the Lord gave me today, and I just want to praise God for his spirit, and thank you, Jesus, and I just want to lift the Lord up tonight and honor him and glorify him and to magnify him, that he's still on the throne. He's not in the grave. He's not on the cross, and we just need to lift him up and to magnify his name above every name. Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Go ahead, Brother Eddie. That was good, Brother Sister Robin.
Thank you.
Praise the Lord. It's good to be on this broadcast tonight. And I thank God for Jesus. I thank God that Jesus left his eternal glory and was born of a virgin in a stable of all places. But you know, God had a work for him to do, and he said, I come to do my Father's will. And he did that, in fact, right on down to the end. And Jesus said, they don't take my life from me. But he said, I give my life up. He said, this commandment have I received of my Father. He said, if I lay my life down, I'll take it up again. And brother, I'll tell you today that this chapter of Scripture talking about after that he was crucified and he went through the torment and the torture and of being beaten with that cat of nine tails, and brother, they carried that cross out there and they crucified him, and he hung there for several hours, and then they stuck the spear to his side to make sure that he was dead. And then, brother, when they made sure that he was dead, they took his body down and they wrapped it in a cloth, and they carried him and stuck him in a tomb. And brother, when he was in that tomb, a tomb where no man had lain, and brother, they laid Jesus in there, and brother, they thought they was going to keep him down and they was going to keep him dead, and the devil thought that he had got rid of his worst enemy.
Amen.
But brother, I want you to know tonight, brother, he said if he had have known that he would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But brother, I want you to know tonight, these people today that we're preaching tonight on, where have you laid Jesus at? Brother, these people down through the years, they went to an altar somewhere and they prayed and they got their heart right with God. Brother, and God blessed and God moved. Brother, in this nation, and the financial situation got better. Brother, they began to have jobs. And brother, God just began to move in a great way. And then after a while, they began to lay Jesus aside. Brother, I want you to know, and they began to go on and working them jobs and partaking of the blessing that God had blessed them with. And brother, I want you to know tonight, brother, these people today, this brother a while ago mentioned Ben Maxfield. These people today that don't believe that you can backslide today. But I'll tell you today that somebody turns around and they lay Jesus off to the side. They got no need for him anymore. And they go back into the world and they begin to live the life of a lost person, the life of a sinner. Brother, they're backslid. As sure as I'm sitting here, what are you going to do with Jesus? Brother, where have you laid him in your life? Have you been led by the Spirit of God? Jesus said, I'm going away, and I'll pray the Father, and he'll send you another comforter that will abide with you forever. And he said, brother, he shall testify of me. And these people today that the Spirit of God has dealt with, and they have dealt, he has dealt with them and dealt with them, and they turn and they fear. Oh, listen to me. The Bible said in the book of Genesis, said, my spirit shall not always strive with man. Brother, these people think that they're all right. But brother, I'll tell you today, brother, if they would die in the condition that they're in, they just couldn't make it. Somebody might say, you're judging. Brother, I'll tell you today, when you live like the world, brother, you can't tell anybody from the world. You can judge something by the works that they bear. And brother, I'll tell you today, when the works of the flesh are in there, brother, you can say there goes a person that's not following the Spirit of God, but they're following the flesh. The Bible said that there's a warfare going on today between the Spirit and the flesh. And brother, I want you to know today that we have got to crucify the flesh. In fact, Paul said in one place, he said to mortify or to kill the deeds of the flesh. And brother, I'll tell you tonight, brother, when we begin to do that, brother, when we walk after the Spirit of God and we just put Jesus down in our heart, brother, the time will come that the Spirit of God will quicken our mortal bodies.
Amen.
And we'll hear the trumpet sound, brother, and we'll look up and we'll get carried away into the heavens to be with the Lord. Brother, I want you to know the Bible's talked about over here, brother, in the fourth chapter of First Thessalonians. He said, but I would not have them to be you to be ignorant, brother, concerning which you're asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we really believe that Jesus died and rose again. And like that brother was talking about there, even so him also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. Brother, I want you to know that body's going to be raised up in the same manner.
Amen.
And they'll have a body likened to the body of Jesus' body. Brother, I'll tell you, he said that this mortality must put on immortality. And brother, this corruption must put on incorruption. And brother, I want you to know tonight, brother, when you lay Jesus right in the very depths of your heart and you keep him there, brother, you've got eternal life abiding within you. Brother, people talks about, and I'm sure you've heard them, I've done got my ticket bought and paid for. Brother, that's because Jesus, they called on his name. And the Bible said, whoever shall call on the name of the Lord, they shall be saved. Brother, they called on that name. They believed on the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Brother, and they were born again into the family of God. And Jesus moved right down in there. Brother, the Bible calls it by the washing of the water of the word. Brother, I want you to know tonight that God has given to people the chance, brother, to lay Jesus right down in their heart. But brother, I'll tell you tonight, many people put him there one time, and then they took him back out. And the Bible said that he dwells in our hearts by faith. Brother, when we lay that faith down, when we throw that faith away, brother, we're throwing Jesus away. But we don't have to do that. You might say, I'd live for God, but people talks about me. Brother, let them talk. But go on and live for Jesus. Let them call your name. Let them persecute you. Let them smite you on one cheek and then turn that other one to them and let them smite you on the other cheek. And you might say, brother, you sound like it's easy. Brother, I'm here to tell you, it would hurt to get hurt hit on the cheek of the pace. And then especially you turn that other one, it would hurt. It would be painful. But Jesus said to do that. If they spat you on one cheek, then turn the other one to them. Oh, let me tell you today, there was a man told me recently, he said, just lay down Jesus. Lay your salvation down. The problem with that is, if you lay your salvation down and then go back to pick it up later, brother, you may not find it there, and it may take you a long time to ever find that which you've laid down. And then the scary part is you may never find it, brother, for the rest of your life. Brother, we don't have to lay down, brother, our faith. We don't have to lay Jesus down anywhere, but all we got to do is hang in there. People don't like to use the word hang on or to endure. But, brother, I want you to know the Bible said that the time would come that the love of many would wax cold. But he that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. Brother, I want you to know tonight that God has given you something tonight that money cannot buy. Brother, there's not enough gold and silver or precious stones or precious metals on the face of the earth to buy one bit of salvation that Jesus purchased with his own life. He offered that body up, a sacrifice for the sins of the world. In fact, the Bible called Jesus the lamb that was slain from the foundation of the earth. Brother, I want you to know people want to do good works, and there's not anything wrong with good works, but we're not saved by good works. The Bible calls salvation a gift of God. Be
been saved by grace through faith. And brother, I want you to know tonight, there's a lot of people, they don't like to hear the preaching. But brother, you've got to hear that preaching of that word, because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. How can you hear without a preacher? How can they preach without they being sent? So then faith comes by hearing. Let me tell you tonight, you've got to hear that word of God be preached. Brother, it triggers that faith. The Bible calls it in the book of Romans, the law of faith. And that law of faith is triggered when you believe that gospel. And that faith is imparted into your spirit. Brethren, you can believe, brethren, the salvation. Thank God tonight that Jesus Christ is the author and the finisher of our faith. I thank God tonight that there's no other name given among men whereby man must be saved. The name Eddie Bolton, brother, can't do anything for anybody's salvation. The only thing Eddie Bolton can do is to stand up and preach and what God would have him to preach. And that's all Eddie Bolton can do. And that's all Eddie Bolton's got to do. Brother, with the salvation of people, of course I can pray. But brother, when it comes down to doing the work of getting somebody saved, it takes the Spirit of God through faith. Brother, today, to regenerate anybody into the family of God. Oh, I'm so glad tonight, brother, that God called us. I'm glad tonight that there's no big eyes and there's no little news. But, brother, we're all the same in Christ Jesus. We're all children of God if we're born again into the family of God. We that have believed that Jesus died for our sins, brother, from our heart, and believe that God raised him from the dead, as he said, for with the heart a man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Brother, I want you to know tonight that God loves people. God, but he shed his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Where have we laid him at tonight? Have we took him and laid him in our heart? Or have we laid him aside? Or did we at one time put him in our heart, brother? And then after a while, because we began to look at the world, we decided that we didn't need him in our heart any longer, and we took him out. Oh, listen to me today. Oh, I want to say shame on somebody if they done that. But, brother, I want you to know that there's nobody has to do that, because God has given us that measure of pain, brother, that we might stand, that we might be saved and stand and live this Christian life. Oh, I'll tell you today, if we'll just get ourselves out of the way and ask Jesus to live his life through us, brother, he knows how, and he knows what needs to be done. And if we'll yield to the Spirit of God, brother, he'll come into our life, he'll live through us, brother, he'll bring forth the fruit of the Spirit in our life. Brother, we'll have that joy, we'll have that love, we'll have that peace, that long suffering, brother, and that joy and that temperance and that goodness, brother, against what the Bible said, against such there's no law. Brother, I'm glad tonight that God has given us the ability, brother, to lay Jesus in our heart and give us the ability to believe what Jesus did, that we could call on his name, that we could be born again into the family of God. Brother, where have you laid him at tonight? Brother, brother, when Jesus, brother, they put him in that tomb, brother, and on the first day of the week, they went out there to take spices, brother, to anoint his body, and they went down in that tomb, and there was nobody there, brother, the clothes was down, but where they was at, when Jesus was made there, and brother, they was there, but Jesus wasn't there anymore, brother, and he come out, brother, and Dea Murray looked, and she saw a man, and she thought it was a gardener, and oh, I'm telling you tonight, brother, she said, where have you laid him, where have you took him to, just tell me and I'll go get him, let me tell you tonight, brother, that woman loved the Lord with all of her heart, and Jesus spoke to her and said, Mary, and let me tell you what, Mary, her eyes was opened, and she saw that man was not a gardener, but that man was a risen Savior, and he was there in front of her, brother, and she went, and she told the others there, the disciples, and they went out of there, they went to the tomb. Oh, let me tell you tonight, Jesus is not in a tomb no more. Hang about these other religions, brother. Brother, their leaders are still in the tomb, but the leader of Christianity, brother, I'll just say it like this, the father of Christianity, I'll call out, this is not exactly the way the Bible says it, I understand that, but brother, Jesus is the author and the finisher of our faith, and brother, I want you to know tonight, brother, he'll finish that faith. The Bible said he that has started a good work in you shall complete it in the day of the Lord Jesus. Brother, I'll tell you tonight, I'm glad one time back yonder, about 38, 39 years ago, brother, I come home. I was an alcoholic, but I went back to church one morning, and my car tore up. But, brother, I went in, and I got up when I heard the message preached. I hit that altar, and I got down on my knees and began to pray, and I come up a-shouting, brother, and I'll tell you today, brother, I've still got the Lord in my heart. I've never made him aside, but I'll tell you to me, Jesus said, I'll never leave you, I'll never forsake you, but I'll be with you all the way, even to the end of the world. And bless God, I'm looking forward to the day, because Jesus is in my heart. I'm looking forward to the day, bless God, when God says, Eddie, it's time for you to come on home. Brother, my soul is out of my body, and I go be with the Lord and be with them forevermore. I know that the resurrection coming. Brother, over here in the fourth chapter of Thessalonians, I started reading a while ago. It said, for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. And listen to this last word. It said, wherefore comfort one another with these words. Brother, God has given us comfort tonight. In fact, Jesus called the Holy Ghost tonight. He called him the Comforter. He said he shall abide with you forever. Thank God tonight for the Spirit of God. Brother, when I feel that stern, brother, right down deep in my heart, that witness of the Holy Ghost, brother, I'll tell you tonight, it makes me know that everything is all right. Brother, it makes me know that I'm a child of God, and that Jesus is in my heart. Thank my God I feel the one. Brother, I'll tell you tonight that God is so good to us. And if you've ever took up Jesus, if you've ever called on his name, and brother, he's come into your heart, he's regenerated you and made you a child of God. Brother, he said, old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Brother, one writer said it like you. How do you know you passed from death unto life? He said, because you love the brethren. Brother, you won't hate church people. You'll love church people because them that are saved, they're your brothers and sisters. And you might say, well, now they might not be the same denomination that I am. Denomination ain't got a thing to do with it. It don't matter if you're a Baptist or a Church of God or a Pentecostal or a Methodist or a brother, as long as you're born again, you're my brother, you're my sister tonight. Because listen, when we get to heaven, we're going to live together as one big happy family, and we're going to be forever in the presence of the Lord. Brother, you would, I don't know about anybody else, but I feel the Lord on this sin. And brother, if you've not got Jesus in your life, if you've not laid him down in your heart, brother, I invite you tonight, brother, to take him up and let him come back into your heart. Call on him. Call on him. Believe on him. Call on him and see what he'll do for you. He'll save you. He'll renew you up and cause you and help you to walk the way that he would have you to walk. The Spirit of God will work in your life. Now he'll lead you and guide you and direct you, brother. And brother, he'll cause you to stand when the tempter comes. He'll cause you to stand. Oh, listen, may God bless you tonight is my prayer. And I hope this you got something out of this message tonight. Mm-hmm. Brother, you would go ahead, brother.
Praise the Lord. Appreciate that wonderful message there and wonderful word there. Brother Eddie, you've done a great job there with God's help. So I'm going to let Tim sing another song there. Don't get too far away, Brother Eddie. You may have to take over here in a few minutes and do some more there. So God bless you.
God bless you, brother.
I'm going to have Tim to sing. Praise the Lord.
Talking about me, but really I don't mind. They always stop and try to block my progress most of the time. But those mean things they say don't make me feel bad. I can lose a friend that I never had. I've got to look, and that's enough, that's enough, that's enough. Well, he raised me and he saved me. Oh, he bought me. Then he taught me, he's my keeper, he's my guide, and I can feel him there walking right by my side. I've got the Lord, 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 and that's enough, that's enough, that's enough. Many times when I didn't have a dime, I couldn't call on nobody but the Lord. You know he heard my plea, he came to see about me. He's my all in all. Now when they push me down, he picks me up. He stands by me when the going gets rough. I've got the Lord, and that's enough, that's enough. Well, he raised me, and he saved me. Oh, he bought me, and then he taught me. He's my keeper, he's my guide, and I can feel him there walking right by my side. I've got the Lord, I've got the Lord, I've got the Lord, I've got the Lord, I've got the Lord. And that's enough, that's enough, that's enough. Well, he raised me, feeling there, walking right by my side. I've got the Lord, I've got the Lord, I've got the Lord, I've got the Lord, I've got the Lord. And that's enough, that's enough, that's enough. I've got the Lord, and that's enough, yeah.
Praise the Lord. Appreciate that wonderful song. So I'm going to let Sister Betty read the prayer request right now. Then, Brother Eddie, have you got any prayer requests you need to make known?
Yeah, I still want you to remember that friend in South Carolina that's got that prostate cancer. I want you to remember him and remember my cousin's wife. They just took two big brain tumors off her brain and back a few weeks ago, and one of them's big as your fist, one of them's big as a lemon, they said, and she probably is in Tazewell Rehab Center over there taking rehab. Remember her and remember my cousin, because he's doing all he can to keep things going while she's going through this sickness that she's been going through with. Her name is Anita, and her husband's name is Johnny Bolton. And remember my lost children tonight, too. My lost grandchildren.
Okay, we sure will. Sister Robin?
Yes, sir?
You got any prayer requests?
I do. I want everybody to keep praying for our church. And I've got some lost children that was raised up in the Lord, but they went their own way. I want everybody to be praying for them. And also, I'd like for everybody to be praying for the man that persecuted me, that the Lord would give me forgiveness for him.
Amen. Praise the Lord. God will give you peace, sister, over it. Just got to trust him. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Sister Free, did you have any more prayer requests?
I don't think so. Let's just remember the mamas that are carrying babies for the Lord so that they have an easy delivery.
Okay, we sure will. 937, come in there and tell us who you are and where you're at.
Yeah, this is Brother Green, Sister Green, Springboro, Ohio. And
praise
just
the Lord.
Then we got in here a little bit late.
Well, we're glad you called in there. Our subject tonight is... where have you laid him? So we want to just go ahead and feel free to obey the Lord there.
Yeah, are you taking prayer requests? Is that what you're doing now?
Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead and give us a prayer request if you want to.
Just keep praying for Keith Green. He's been fighting cancer. I haven't heard any report. Also, I've got some brothers that's not saved, and a lot of family members that need prayer, need salvation. Pray for them. People in our church, some of them needs prayer. There's people going through sickness, and Brother Tim Hall, he's still in need of prayer and needs the Lord to move for him physically and financially, and get him back on his feet to preach the gospel and work for him. And do you have anything, Joanna? No, that's all we have right now.
Okay, just go ahead and obey the Lord there then, brother.
Okay, Brother Yearwood, we got in here late, didn't know what the subject was, but I heard a little bit of Brother Eddie preaching there, and I tell you what, he preached a great message, and I realized there it's where have you laid him? Laid Jesus. And I tell you what, I'm glad that Jesus is in my heart today.
Amen.
I'm glad I heard the message of salvation. I'm glad that I opened the door. You know, he said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if any man hear my voice and open the door," he said, "I will come in to him and sup with him and he with me." And you know, John was cast on that. John the Revelator was cast on that Isle of Patmos, and he was put there for the Word of God, and they put him there because they got tired of hearing him preach. about this man called Jesus, and he was preaching that salvation was in that name. You know, the apostles, they got in trouble themselves. Peter and John one day went down to the beautiful temple and, you know, prayed for the man there at the gate of that temple. And he rose up and was healed and went in, leaping and praising God. And they ran to see what was going on, and they began to tell them that it was this man that was called Jesus that healed this man that was laying at that beautiful gate. And I tell you, I thought about the Apostle Paul. You know, the Apostle Paul, he was on the road to Damascus, and he had letters from the high priests and the officers, the captains. He had letters to put those in prison that was calling on the name of Jesus. And, you know, I believe that Brother Paul, well, before he was Paul, he was called Saul of Tarsus. And
man,
he was going about persecuting those Christian people, those that named the name of Jesus, because he had probably heard that Christ had died on the cross. And he said these people probably in his heart, probably out loud had spoken, had said these people are crazy. They're worshiping a man that's not even alive. They're worshiping a man that they had put in that barred tomb, and they rolled the stone across the door. But, you know, the report was that the disciples had come by night and stolen him away, stolen his body. And, you know, the Apostle Paul no doubt believed that that was the report. And he was going about to stop this heresy that he thought was heresy. So he was going about to stop the preaching of the gospel of Christ. But I'll tell you tonight, there's a man called Jesus came out of that barred tomb. He came out of that tomb. They laid him in a barred tomb. I want to read just a little bit right here in Matthew 27 and verse 50. It says, Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost, and behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake and the rocks rent. Praise God. So he had died on that cross here in Matthew 27. And on down here, I want to drop on down to the 57th verse. It says, when the even was come, there came a rich man of Arimathea named Joseph, who also himself was Jesus' disciple. He went to Pilate and begged the body of Jesus. Then Pilate commanded the body to be delivered. And when Joseph had taken the body, he wrapped it in a clean linen cloth, and he laid it in his own new tomb, which he had hewn out in the rock, and he rolled a great stone to the door of the sepulchre and departed. And there was Mary Magdalene and the other Mary sitting over against the sepulchre. You know, I was thinking about this rich man. You know, this rich man, Joseph of Arimathea, he was a disciple of Jesus, and he went. And when he found out that Jesus was dead, the Bible said that he went to Pilate, and he begged the body of Jesus. So Pilate commanded the body to be delivered to him. And when Joseph had taken the body, he wrapped it in a clean linen cloth. And the scripture said he laid it in his own tomb, which he had hewn out in the rock. And he rolled a great stone to the door of the sepulchre and departed. You know, I was thinking tonight, I was thinking that here was a rich man, but he was a disciple of Jesus, and, you know, he was preparing to meet his Maker. I don't know how old this man was, but I tell you tonight, we're going to have to get a hold of Jesus, the living Savior, the one that came out of that barred tomb, praise God, because he's not dead. He's alive. You know, amen. Paul went about persecuting the Christian till one day he met Jesus. he met him on that road to Damascus. He saw that great light shine from heaven. He said, above the brightness of the noonday sun. He said he heard a voice come out of that that light. And he said, "Why, Paul, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?" And he said, "Who art thou, Lord?" And he said, "I'm Jesus, whom thou persecutest." I tell you, Jesus is standing up for his people. He was standing up in that day for his people when that apostle that was soon to be an apostle came down that road. And he come down that road, and he was going to distinguish this sect of Christians that he thought was heresy, that was teaching false doctrine, that he thought was of the devil. But I'll tell you what he found out that day on that road. It was not of the devil. He found out that there was a living Savior. He found out that Jesus was alive. And, you know, later he got in trouble preaching that same Jesus that they had taken and they had laid him in that barred tomb. They had put him in that rock and they had rolled that stone across the door. And they thought they'd done away with that man called Jesus. But I'll tell you, he's alive today, my friend. And I don't know who I'm preaching to tonight and who these ministers have already preached to that you're listening in tonight. But, you know, the Bible tells us that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, talking about the name of Jesus, talking about the Savior, whosoever shall call upon his name shall not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent him not into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And this man, this rich man, was preparing a grave, and he had hewn this out of a rock, and he had worked on this thing, no doubt. I don't know if he did it himself or paid to have it done, but he was preparing for a place for them to lay him when he left this world. And I'll tell you what, we need to prepare for the world to come. We need to prepare ourselves to meet God. We need to get our heart right with him so that when that day comes, when Christ comes back again, that we'll be ready to go. We was driving down the highway tonight trying to get back home for the broadcast, and we was looking at the wind blowing and the clouds gathering and forming in the sky, and I said, I've never seen it like that before, the way the clouds were tonight. And I said, you know what, it could be the rapture might take place. I don't know. And somebody said, well, I don't know if it's time. Well, he'll come when he gets ready, praise God. And it don't matter what we might think about it, praise God. But when the time comes, Jesus is coming back. And I tell you, we don't know the day and we don't know the hour, but we do certainly know that he's coming. And this man was making preparation for his death. I believe he was making preparation for his own death. But here he was caught up in this situation, and Christ had died on that cross. They had nowhere to put him. They didn't have, probably didn't have the money saved up to bury him. They had to find somewhere to put that body. And, you know, this rich man said, I'll put him in my own barred tomb. I'll take that body, praise God. Pilate let him go, and he laid him in that rock, praise God. Jesus is the rock of ages, praise God. And I'll tell you, just like he was in that rock, you know, Moses was in the rock one day on the mountain. He saw all the goodness of God pass by. And I'll tell you something, Jesus is a rock that we can run to.
Amen.
Praise God. There's nothing that he can't do for you and I. He died on the cross that he might bring salvation to us, you and I, that we could be saved, that we wouldn't have to go out to that lake of fire. And I'm going to turn it over here, praise God, Sister Joanna. She might have a thing or two to say, but it's been good to be with you, Brother Yearwood. Here she is.
Amen. Appreciate you, Brother Rick.
Praise the Lord, Brother Yearwood. Good to be with you all tonight. And like Brother Green said, we were rushing home through the storm to get to the broadcast. And, you know, that's how we've got to be, is to be about the Father's business and do a work for the Lord. And you know, I got a question tonight. We didn't know the subject, but we found out as we come home, we turned on the computer, was listening, heard Brother Eddie Bolton, wonderful preaching. Praise God, we enjoy him very much. And, you know, I was thinking, I have a question to ask you. Where did you lay your Jesus down? If you're backslid tonight, do you remember when you used to serve God, that once you walked this walk and talked the talk and maybe you preached the gospel and maybe you just laid it down and said, what's the use? Maybe doors weren't open for you like you desired, or maybe, you know, maybe just the church changed maybe, or not talking about the body of Christ because he's the same today, yesterday, and forever, praise the Lord, but maybe the church you were going to changed and you weren't going to go that way, and you maybe you felt like Elijah and backed up in the cave and said it felt like you were the only one left that believed like you did, and you thought, well, what's the use? And when you begin to let down on God, then the devil started to creep in and the world started to creep in. Remember where you laid Jesus down at. And, you know, you could pick it back up. Paul said, I die daily and I take up my cross daily. And you need to start right now at this moment. If you can hear me, praise the Lord, I encourage you to pick back up that cross and pick up Jesus back into your life and ask for forgiveness and pray. You know how to pray. You've been saved before, but you've let go of God. The pressures of this old world, you know, the 10 virgins, they were all virgins, and they were all sleeping and slumbering and waiting for the bridegroom's call. And at midnight, the 5 that were ready, they went when they heard the groom call, and the other 5 wanted to borrow of the other 5, and the 5 that had oil said, go buy your own. And they didn't make it in. I tell you, Jesus is coming, and that's for sure. Maybe you preached that once in your life there or twice, or maybe you were on fire for God and you've let down. But he is coming, and it's not too late. Praise the Lord. We're still here. We're still preaching the gospel, and you need to get back on board with the Lord. Stop this train, Lord. Let me get on. We sing a song like that all the time, and we say, I've got my ticket, Lord, let me get on. I've got my ticket, Lord, let me get on. If you've ever heard that, you know you need to get your ticket again, and that's the only way there is Jesus. Praise the Lord. So get back on board with Jesus. So when the bridegroom calleth, you'll be ready, and your lamp will be full of oil and trimmed and burning and ready. The Bible talks about the Word being a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. Praise God. And the 5 virgins that were good and their lamps were full of oil, they were able to see in that midnight hour how to get to the bridegroom. Praise God. So get your lamp full of oil, and ask for forgiveness and pray that God will save you. Praise the Lord, and ask for forgiveness of your sins. Praise the Lord. I'll turn it back to you, Brother Yearwood. Thank you.
Praise the Lord. Appreciate you there, Sister Green. 770-584, come in there and tell us who you are and where you're at.
Praise the Lord, Brother Yearwood. This is John from Thomaston, Georgia.
Okay. You got any prayer requests?
I don't know if you got a request from Brother Kevin last night, but his mother's in the hospital.
Yeah, we got that request there. Okay. Yeah.
Just remember the church, remember the things, and remember also her, and just just a lot of needs tonight that the Lord needs to move on. Amen.
Okay, well, just remember us, the wind's getting up out here, so looks like maybe a storm fixing to head our way, but God's got it all under control, so just go ahead there, Brother John, and obey the Lord.
Well, I appreciate that. Tonight, amen, we are speaking about where have you laid him, amen, and actually in the scriptures there in the original writings, it means where have you put him, or where have you placed him, or where have you appointed him in your life, and I didn't do it earlier here. I had to work over tonight. Amen. Different writers wrote about different things of this same. Amen. Amen. One of the writings is coming out of John chapter 20. I know probably this has been preached over and over again, but it does speak about Mary Magdalene, who was Mary Magdala, that, amen, that she came on the first day of the week there in John chapter 20, verse 1, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulcher, and see if the stone taken away from the sepulchre. You know, when she come, amen, she comes in the darkness, she comes in the obscurity of darkness, amen. And hallelujah, we find, amen, that as she come in that early morning, when the S-U-N hadn't rose up, but the S-O-N had already rose, amen, and the stone was rolled away. You know, the Bible speaks of, amen, it talks about the writer of Matthew. When Matthew was writing, he talked about, amen, that the next day, you know, Brother Green brought out about how Joseph of Arimathea put the stone there. But that next day after the preparation, in Matthew chapter 27, it says that they got together and they said they remembered the deceiver, that he said he was yet alive. While he was yet alive, after 3 days, he said, I will rise again. And they commanded not only to make the sepulcher sure, but they set a watch out there, and they sealed that stone, amen. And, amen. Man done everything they could, amen, to keep, the Lord Jesus Christ, amen, in this tomb, this borrowed tomb, amen. Everything that was in there was borrowed, amen. He wasn't going to need it long, amen, hallelujah. Just needed it,
amen,
for 3 days, amen. It was just a weekend stay, amen, hallelujah. He was getting ready to leave out on that first day of the week, amen. And hallelujah, he just needed a place, amen, for a resting time, you know. Even as when he was first born, he spoke about, amen, it was ordained by the Lord Jesus Christ, ordained by God the Father, that he would be born in a manger wrapped in swaddling clothes, amen. Started this thing out in swaddling clothes and ended it up, amen, in linen clothes, amen, hallelujah. And both times, amen, someone else had wrapped him up, amen. When this thing began, his mother wrapped him up, and when this thing ended, amen, it was just like Peter, amen, that, hallelujah, he told Peter, you were young and now you're old. He said, amen. When you were young, you girded yourself. But he said, there'll be a day, amen, that amen, they would take you where you would not go, amen. Hallelujah, signifying of the death, amen, of Peter, amen. And they done everything they could, amen, to keep the body of Christ, amen. The Lord had done everything they could, amen, to keep that body laid in that tomb, amen. Hallelujah,
amen.
But you need to know tonight, amen, you need to know, amen, that it doesn't matter where man has laid him, where man has appointed him, where man has appointed him. You know, he spoke even in John chapter 11, when they come, they even asked about Lazarus, amen, when he was in the tomb. In 4 days, he said in John chapter 11, he said, where have you laid him? Where have you put Lazarus? And they appointed him into a grave, amen, amen. But it was just a time, because the Bible said, she'd come in the dark. You know, the scriptures teach us. In Isaiah 58, this is talking about that. The Bible said, then shall thy light break forth in 58:8 as the morning, and thy health shall spring forth speedily, and thy righteousness shall go before thee, the glory of the Lord shall be thy reward. Then shall thy God shall answer, thou shalt cry, and he shall away from the midst of thee, the yoke, the putting forth of the speaking vanity. In other words, speaking evil of others. He said, if you do all this, he said, I'm going to say, here I am. Amen. If thou draw out thy soul to the hungry and satisfy thy afflicted soul, then shall thy light rise in obscurity, and thy darkness be as a noonday. And the Lord shall guide thee continually, and satisfy thy soul in drought, and make fat thy bones, and thou shalt be like a watered garden, and like a spring of water, whose waters fail not. Hear this woman, amen. She was there the first day of the week, amen. And others, another writer in the market talks about, amen, that, amen, that the angel had come down, and there was an earthquake, and the stone was rolled away. But, amen, I wanted to take it from John's perspective, because here, amen, John was a disciple. John, and amen, was a part of the foundation of the church. Amen. He was a part of that chief cornerstone once he linked up with Jesus Christ. But the Bible says that when she got there in John chapter 20, the stone was already taken away. Amen. And she ran. Amen. As the angel of the Lord told her by the other writer to go and tell the disciples, amen, that he's not here and he's risen. She came to Simon Peter, amen, and says to the other disciples, this is John, right? And she said, taken away the Lord after, and we know not where they are laid, where they've appointed the body of Christ. We don't know where they placed the body of Christ. Church, they didn't take that body of Christ out of there. They didn't want that body to get out. They didn't want that body of Christ to reach out and come out of that place of the dead, just like it is tonight on this broadcast, where the body of Christ is not in the grave tonight. It's very much risen and resurrected. If the stone has been rolled away,
that we can bring forth a message, amen, when they come, amen, when people have come to the places of death, when they come. Here was Mary, amen, it's just like when they had prepared the body of Christ for the burial. They wrapped him up and had a 100-pound weight with the different myrrh and the aloes, amen, and they prepared his body, amen, with as in the manner of the Jews. But tonight, church, I'm telling you, there's a preparation from heaven tonight that'll bring him, amen. That's a preparation for a burial, but tonight the preparation is not for burial, Jesus, but brothers and sisters, the preparation is for him coming out and being a risen Savior, amen. And even though, just like Sister Breen brought out, maybe you did backslide, maybe you did leave him in a place, maybe you were like Mary and Joseph, amen, during the time of the feast, and for 2 days they walked away not realizing that Jesus wasn't with them, amen, and they looked for him here, and they looked for him there, amen. But when they got back, amen, by the time they went into the temple, and there Jesus was, the same place where he left him. Church tonight, you need to know that where you laid him, he's still going to be there, amen. If you take, amen, wings and go to heaven, thou art there. If you make your bed in hell tonight, amen, he's laying there waiting for you, amen, hallelujah. Not as a participant, but he got there before. We don't have to be in hell. I'm not talking about literally dying and going to Jehino or the Valley of Hinnom, but I'm talking about, amen, when you're going through hellish circumstances, when you're going through the fiery pit, amen, you need to know tonight that the Lord Jesus Christ will go before you. Just like he was there, amen. When Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego got in a fire, when they would not bow nor burn, amen, they had laid him up in his heart, in their own heart, amen. And even if they weren't going to be delivered, they had already made up a mind. They had already laid up in their mind, amen, hallelujah, that they were not going to bow down to that golden idol in the plain of Zora. Tonight, amen, the Bible says that there in verse 4 that Peter and John ran both together. Peter came first to the sepulcher. He stooped down, looked in, saw the linen clothes, yet he went not in. Then kind of Simon with Peter following him, the other disciple did outrun Peter. John got there first. John got there first. He looked in, but he didn't go in. We want to look into the situation, into the circumstances, but we won't enter on in. Church, everywhere, you're right outside the place. Amen. But hallelujah, you need to know Jesus is not there. In the places of death, why are you looking? Why do you look among the living, among the dead? In other words, quit looking in those places of dead. Quit looking in the grave for the Lord Jesus Christ. He's not there. Quit looking, amen. Amen. In the dark, in the places of sin, Jesus is not there. Oh, hallelujah, he's the light of the world. Amen. The Bible says in Revelation 22:14-16, he talks about, amen. Amen. He talks about those that are within and those that are out in the city. He said, I am the root of David, amen, the bright morning star. He is earth, and he had already went forth. Hallelujah. And then the Bible says, here comes Simon Peter, verse 6, following him and went into the sepulcher and seeing the linen clothes lie. And the napkin that was about his head, not lying with the linen clothes, it was separated. The napkin was laid, amen, as a sign of wiping the sweat, not in death, but removing the curse. This was laid separately upon the head of those that were buried, amen, and then they were wrapped in the linen clothes. They were separated, amen, just as the angels. There was one at the head and one at the foot. One that would, amen, represent the head, amen, and the body of Christ coming together. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We are the body of Christ. We are members in particular of the body of Christ. Hallelujah.
Amen.
For the Bible says that they went on, and also the other disciple which came first to the sepulchre, and he saw and believed. Amen. How many of you know tonight, he saw and believed that Jesus wasn't there? Church, when he went in, amen, he'd already been told, but he hadn't believed yet. He hadn't come to a faith. Church, all over this world, you've already been told that Jesus is not there. Jesus is not in the place of death. Jesus is resurrected, amen. Jesus, amen, is risen. Oh, he hung on the cross of the day, but he's not hanging on that cross now.
Amen.
Oh, he went in the tomb, that just like Brother Green said, but he's not in that tomb now. Oh, we need to look, amen, for the living God tonight. The Bible says they walk in the newness of life. In Romans chapter 6, I believe it's verse 4. It says in John chapter 20, verse 9, for he, they knew not the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. They hadn't known that scripture. They had seen, amen, that he was gone. But verse 11, but Mary stood without at the sepulchre weeping. And then, verse 10, here's, I like this. Then the disciples went away again to their own house. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that wonderful? Here's the foundation of the church. They scratch their head, got out of the sepulcher, and what they do, first thing they do, where are you, Jesus? Oh, no, I got to go home. Foundation of church went home. Peter went home. The rock, Cephas. Look, you must have missed it. Where'd you lay him? Where'd you put him? Where'd you appoint him? Did you think he was going to be at your house? Amen? Did you say? They went away, but here's this woman. Too much is given, much is required. He that loveth, amen, much love, amen. In other words, he that he given here. Here was those that had been accustomed to being with him, being accustomed to staying with him. First thing they do, they don't know where he's at. So what they do, they go home. Church, there are many of you that need to sound my voice. You've been accustomed to Jesus. You've grown accustomed to his presence. And all of a sudden, guess what? You can't find him. So what do? You go home. Where have you laid him? Mm-hmm. Where have you put him? Oh, he'll show up eventually. He'll show up eventually. Yeah. And he puts that Easter sky. He'll show up eventually. When he comes in the clouds with the glory, he'll show up eventually. When he calls you up, you better be ready. Where have you laid him? Because, see, you got to lay him, amen, not in a tomb. You got to lay him in your heart. You got to lay him there, amen, in the very life, amen. And the Bible says, she stood without the sepulcher weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulcher. And see two angels in white sitting up, the one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain, where the body of Jesus had been. She saw angels. She saw messengers. They were ministering spirits to minister to them who were the heirs of salvation. Amen? That's what it says in Hebrews. That's what it says in Psalm 104. These were ministering spirits. Amen? He said, he will make the ministers a flame of fire. And they say to her, woman, what be with thou? She says, because they have taken away my Lord. And I know not where they laid him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing and knew not that it was Jesus. She was weeping for the very same thing. Church tonight, all over this world, there are many people that are weeping for the Lord Jesus Christ, and he's standing right in front of you. Where are you, lady? He's standing right before you. You've turned aside. Amen. The angels of the Lord, the messengers of God, have spoken you to the word of God to you and asked you, why are you weeping? Why are you in sorrow? Hallelujah. Why are you weeping? Hallelujah. And the Bible says, I'm weeping because they have taken away my Lord. No, they didn't take away. There was no one able to take away my Lord. They didn't rob the grave. Amen. Hallelujah. He come up out of it. They didn't take him away. They didn't take away the body of Christ. The body of Christ right rose up because it was raining in the hearts of men and women who would receive him. Except that we the corn fall to the ground and die, it abides alone. But if it die, it shall bring forth much fruit. He come out of there. Why? Because you have laid it to your heart. The Bible says in 1 John 3:16. Oh, how he's laid down his life. We know the love of God that we lay down our life. Where have you laid him? Amen. Have you laid him within your life? Is he living on the inside of you? Here was a woman weeping. Foundation then went home. So she got a nurse of the instinct shall be saved. Too many of the foundation of the church are going home because they can't see Jesus. But he'll show up eventually. He'll come. Yeah, he'll come one day. He'll come in an hour when you think not. The Lord
Amen.
Hallelujah. But the Bible says this. Jesus saith unto her, Mary. She turned herself and saith to him, Rabboni, which is to say master. Rabboni was actually, amen, she was a woman of Galilee. That was actually a Galilean, this is only one time in the Bible, and this is it. This was a Galilee dialect, amen, that she spoke to him, saying, master. Oh, hallelujah. Jesus saith unto her, touch me not. For I am not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren and say to them, I ascend to my Father and your Father and to my God and your God. Don't touch me yet because I haven't ascended. I haven't been glorified. But I'm going to ascend to my Father. When I ascend to my Father, oh, that is the time to touch me. That's the time, amen, where have you laid me up? Where have you laid Jesus tonight? Where have you appointed him tonight? Hallelujah. Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that he had spoken these things unto her. Then the Bible says, in the same day, that evening being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst and said to them, peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. They were glad when they saw his wounds. They were glad when they saw his piercings. They were glad when they saw what had happened to him on the cross. That's the only way they knew that it was him. That's the only way. But that day, Mary, a woman, stepped up weeping. She had laid him in the heart. Tell me where you laid him. She thought he was a gardener. She thought he was a gardener. He told her, I didn't read those scriptures, but he said in verse 14, when she had turned to sand, she saw Jesus standing there and knew not it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, woman, why weepest thou? Just like Sister Green asked the question. Church, why are you weeping tonight? Why are you weeping? Whom seekest thou? She supposing him to be God, said to him, sir, if thou hast borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him. Where have you laid him, gardener? And I will take him away. Oh, she didn't know, but that was the gardener. It was the master gardener, all right. Hallelujah.
Amen.
He's the one that started it all in the beginning. Hallelujah. He laid this thing started in the garden and ended in the garden. It's going to end in the garden right now. Where are you going to be at, church? Where are you going to be at? Where have you laid Jesus? Where have you laid the tree of life? It's in the midst of the garden. And when he had said this, in verse 22, he breathed on them and said in this, saith unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. He breathed on them. Just said God the Father breathed on in Adam, breathed on the dust of the earth. The man became a loving soul. He breathed on his foundation, and they became lively stones. They would go and pray where they laid him. He said, tarry ye here in Jerusalem till ye be endued with the power from up on high. They stayed there. They stayed and prayed. Church, sometimes you got to stay and pray. Sometimes you got to lay them up to receive the promises. Abraham, not even receiving the promises. Look for a city, builder and maker's God. He said, amen, hallelujah. He never saw that city in this life. Oh, there's some things. Hallelujah. Church tonight, where have you laid him? Where have you put him? Where is he? Where have you appointed him tonight? Is he on the cross? Is he in the tomb? Or is he calling your name? Is he calling your name? And you say, you know, he's not here. He's risen. Is he interceding for you now? Is he sitting at the right hand? Is he making every one of your enemies underneath your feet? That's up to you. Where have you laid him? Where have you put him? Where have you appointed him? If you've appointed him to life, if you've appointed him to be on the inside of you tonight, oh, hallelujah. Amen. We can do this. We can go home and forget about it tonight, or we can come weeping before the Lord, staying right there, because you know what? She went back to the place where she last seen him. And just like Sister Green brought out, guess what? As she was weeping, her heart was seeking for him. He said, woman, who seekest thou? Seeking you. She was lost. She was looking not for the lost, what she thought to be the lost lamb. Oh, this was the Lamb of God. But she didn't know he was the shepherd. He would give the directions, amen. The shepherd had laid down his life. He went to the pits of hell, amen. He had to change the keys, amen. Oh, they bound him, amen. Whatsoever you bind shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Amen. He come, he said, I am he which was and which is to come. I am he that was dead and alive forevermore and have the keys. He went down to get the keys to that, amen, to that church. He came out and led captivity captive tonight, church, wherever you laid him, amen. Spirit of the Lord God's upon him tonight, wherever you appointed him, the Lord Jesus Christ, to be in your life, amen. I hope that he's the Lord and master. I hope tonight that you can say, Rabboni, he is your master and your savior. Back to you, Brother Ewood.
Praise the Lord. Appreciate that, Brother John. We got another prayer request come in here just a minute ago. There's up here at the Speedway racetrack. They notified us that one of them's the drivers or something other. Go ahead and tell us about it.
The Smoky Mountain Speedway owners sent a message and said thoughts and prayers go out to the fellow racers and his family. Keep the Henderson family and Martin in your prayers as they deal with the loss of Matt's dad, Jack.
So one of the drivers, their owners that owns that Speedway racetrack up there, so they just sent us a message in there to pray for them. So just remember that lost that family. And also I want to say that we appreciate, we've got Cross Point radio station in Andrews, North Carolina is picking us up and putting us on there. So anybody's got a internet, they can go on Crossroad or Cross Point Ministry and can pick us up there too. So we're going to let Tim sing another song here. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Just worship the Lord with him as he sings this song. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. So we're going to let Sister Betty here read the prayer request over.
I just want to give God all the praise and all the glory for what he's been doing. I've got two praise reports to give everyone, and we thank everyone for praying. We want to thank God for touching our little grandson, Landon, that was born on the 19th. He was supposed to be born on Lloyd Ray's birthday, but he came a little early. And he had fluid around his heart and around his rib cage, and they took him to Children's Hospital in Chattanooga, and they said that his that he was getting worse and everything. So we had everybody to pray, and everybody got to praying, and he went home yesterday. So we just thank God for that. He ain't got no more fluid buildup around him. And another grand. Reagan that was born with multiple problems, he received another miracle yesterday. They had done a test on him some time back, a swallow test to see if he could swallow, and the doctor said that he would never be able to swallow his food. But yesterday, his mom fed him some corned beef hash, and he was able to chew it up and swallow it. So we just give God all the praise and glory for that. And he's also been setting up by himself, and he's been setting up real straight. So we're just believing God for a total miracle for little Murphy.
Amen.
And we want you to remember all of our kids that need salvation. And remember us. We've still got that old sinus problems. And Sister Ann Hagen says that she has two serious prayer requests. Her husband's sister had a stroke, and then his brother is in the ICU with kidney issues and a broken hip and more. So remember that family. Remember Wanda Bivens, Tim's aunt and uncle. They're going to be going to Vanderbilt this next week to start tests on Tim's uncle to see what's wrong with him. So let's be lifting them up in prayer. And let's pray for two girls that have been deceived by a doctrine that is contrary to the Bible. These are two young girls here that's been deceived. So let's remember them girls, that they'll see the truth. Angela French says, please pray for my mama Chris Pinion. She is real bad sick and needs a touch from Jesus. Roy and Martha Sexton need healing. Kevin Miller family, and remember Kevin's mom that's in the hospital. I think she's having some internal bleeding or something. So let's lift her up. And my brother Kim needs healing and needs salvation. My brother, nephew Rick needs salvation, needs deliverance from that alcohol. And let's remember a man that goes to our church, Lawrence Odell. The lawnmower fell on top of him, and he still hasn't recovered yet. He got cut up pretty bad. And let's remember Keith Green, and let's remember Miriam, the one that was overseas, that was in the prison. She had her baby, and they turned her loose for one day. And her and her husband was getting ready to come back to the States, and they arrested the whole family and put them back in prison again. So let's remember these people. They really need God to move for them. And let's pray for Pastor Saeed. He still hasn't been released, and he's still being abused. And let's just pray for his family that's here in the States, his wife and children. And let's pray for the Miracle Valley revival that's going on in Miracle Valley. I mean, in Sierra Vista, Arizona. It's going on through the 29th. So let's remember this.
Praise the Lord. So let's just go to the Lord in prayer right now.
Brother Yearwood?
Yes.
Brother Yearwood, there's another man. He's about 76, 77 years old. And I don't know what his name is, but they sent him home to die. And like to remember him. And Sister Betty's talking about that sister being in prison and arrested her whole family. I was reading that on the internet. But we also need to remember all our brothers and sisters that's over there in Syria and Iraq, because they're going into villages and they're killing all the Christians and letting the Muslims go free. And we need to remember them and lift them up before the Lord.
Yeah. Amen. Let's just go to the Lord in prayer then and just pray for them. Our Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus,
Father,
we come
in the
name of right now, Father.
Lord,
we thank you, Lord, for this service tonight, God. Lord, we just ask you, Father, that you reach down, Lord, right now. Father, we stand in debt, God, taking up the head, Lord, for each and every one of us, God. Lord, you see the need, God, you see the request. Father, you've heard them, Lord, and know them, God. Know where they're at, Father. We just ask, Lord, that you reach down, God, and Lord, touch them. Lord, them,
that's
evil, God. We bind the spirits of the devil, Father, in the name of Jesus, and set them free, God. Set them free, Lord. Set the people, God, the Christian folks, God. We just ask, Lord, that you set them free, God. Deliver them, Father. Fill the hedge up like you did Job, God. And Lord, we give you the praise and the glory and the honor. Father, for all, God, save that soul, Lord, that was your saved, Lord, without any hope. Lord, we Father, that you reach down. Lord, that you reach down. God, that you will touch them. Lord, that you will save them. We give you the praise.
Lord, we praise you. We honor you and give you glory, God.
Thank you, Lord. Praise.
Praise the Lord.
Praise God. Hallelujah. We're going to start here. I'm going to let Betty read for me, but we're going to start in the 20th chapter of John, and we're going to read verse 13 to start out. Then we're going to come back and read from 1 down through 17. But, you know, this is where did you lay him? You know, I've been sitting here and listening tonight and been thinking, where the people laid Jesus. You know, praise God. He's alive forevermore. We just got to just walk into it. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
And they say unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? She saith unto them, Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him.
Praise God. You see, Mary and him thought that they had took Jesus away. They thought maybe that, as Brother John was saying there a while ago, that they come and stole him from the grave. But praise God, they didn't come and steal him. He testified before he ever went to the cross that he would be risen up again in the third day. And, you know, as Brother John said there a while ago, he just needed to rest a little bit maybe just before that it was time for him to depart from this walk of life and go back to the Father. You know, praise God, he went and he done all kinds of work, but I'm proud to know that he went into the othermost parts of the earth, and he set all the captives that was dead, he set them free, and he brought them back, and people saw them as they walked the streets of Jerusalem. And I'm going to tell you tonight, praise God, Jesus, he's very much alive. He's not dead. I tell you what, I talked to him this morning, and I've talked to him different times today, and he's always answered me every time. And so I know that he's alive, and I know that he's doing well. Praise God, I'm going to tell you tonight, my friend, you might have laid him down, his sister Green was saying there a while ago. You might have laid him down and laid him aside somewhere. But I'm going to tell you, Jesus is right where you laid him down at. Praise God, the prodigal son, he laid him down, and he went into the strange country, and he joined himself to that strange country, and he was a-feeding the swines, but praise God, he realized when he began to hunger that there was more back at his father's house, and he returned back to the father's house. My friend, tonight, if you've gone astray, I want you to know, praise God, right where that you laid him down, right where that you turned away from him, you can always go back. He's standing there looking for you. He's standing there calling your name and asking you just to return back. Praise God, this prodigal son, he returned back, and his father seen him coming way down the road, and he told him, he said, go and kill the fattest calf, and praise God, we're going to have a party, hallelujah. He that is dead is alive. He's found now. Praise God, I'm going to tell you tonight, my friend, the Lord, he's right where that you turned away from him. He's right where that you left him. He's so disappointed because you've turned your back upon him. But my friend, all you've got to do is to make him happy, is to turn your life around and come to him and say, Lord, come into my life again. I'm sorry that I've sinned against you. And if you'll do that, I guarantee God's word said, that as many as call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Praise God, and I'm glad to know over in Acts over there, I believe it's about the 12th chapter of Acts, he said there's no other name given under heaven that whereby that man can be saved but through the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. If you call upon him tonight, my friend, you can return back home. There's more back in the Father's house than you've got out there in the world, because you don't have nothing out there. There's nothing out there but a lake of fire at the end of the journey. But praise God, I'm so thankful tonight. If we will just turn our lives and look to the Lord Jesus Christ, he will. He will stretch his arms out. He will take you back right where that you left him at. Oh, praise God, I'm so thankful for that. Hallelujah. Praise God.
And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing and knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be a gardener, saith unto him, Sir, if thou have borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him again.
Praise God. You see, Mary, she was seeking after Jesus, and that's what we need to be doing, and that's the only way that, my friend, that we're going to ever make heaven our home. We got to seek after Jesus. I'll tell you what, Mary thought that he was just a gardener, but I see whenever he called her Mary, she knew then that was the Lord. I'm going to tell you tonight, my friend, the Lord is standing there. He's calling you out. He's calling you in to repentance. He said it wasn't his will that any should perish, but all come to repentance. It's not his will that anybody should die and go to hell. Praise yes. God, the devil is the only one that is supposed to go there. But if you go there, you go there an intruder. You go there against, and you got to go across the blood to get there. My friend, I'm going to tell you something tonight. The blood is all over. The blood was spilled on the cross. Praise God for you and I that we could have this life. I beg you tonight to receive the Lord Jesus Christ. The messages tonight has been repentance. I tell you what, where have you laid him down? Where have you laid him and forgot him? My friend, you need to return back. I know, praise God, one time I slowed up on the Lord for a couple of years, but when I got tired of going the way that I was going, I know that I seen the Spirit of God moving. He said the ways of transgressors is hard. My friend, I'm going to tell you, if you've gone astray from the Lord, your path is hard, but I'm going to tell you, you can turn around. You can come back to the Lord, and you can make peace with God. I'm not telling you that everything, you're going to have a gravy train, but I'm going to tell you that at the end of the road, it'll pay off. At the end of this journey, he that endures to the end, the same shall be saved. My friend, you're going to have to turn back around and come to the Lord Jesus Christ if you ever want to make heaven your home. I tell you, I'm looking forward. As Brother Eddie said a while ago, I'm looking forward for the time that I can hear him call my name and I can cross over that River Jordan. Praise God, he's going to be with me. I know. Hallelujah, that he said he'd never leave me, he'd never forsake me, he'll never forget me. He's going with me all the way, and he'll go all the way with you, my friend. But you first have got to get in line with the Word of God. You got to get your sins earned the blood, and you got to get your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I tell you what, nobody can pluck you out of his hands, but you can pluck yourself out anytime you want to. Praise God. The Bible says, as many as call by his name, as many call upon the name of the Lord, shall be saved. I'm telling you tonight how you can go, how you can read Romans the 10th chapter, and you can find out if you call upon the name of the Lord, you shall be saved. It's time, my friend, that people call upon the Lord and look to the author and the finisher of our faith. Hallelujah. He's the only way, my friend, tonight that we're going to make heaven our home. Praise God, I see that we got just about to maybe 41 seconds. Praise God, I appreciate each and every one that called in tonight. I appreciate you, and just thank God for you. And so, Brother John, come in there and tell us about your church and the time of your services.
Our service times are on Wednesday night, 6 o'clock. We're in the Thompson, Georgia, 114 East Main, and Wednesday night at 6 p.m., and then Sunday morning at 10 a.m., Sunday school, 11 a.m., morning service, and then our evening service is at 6 o'clock. If you're in the area, come and be with us. Sign Tabernacle. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Appreciate it. So we're got 2 seconds there, so we done went off the hour. So God bless everybody, and we'll talk to you next week.
God bless you.
God bless you, brother. You're
God bless you.
God
bless you, too.
Okay.